0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock today. And what a day it is, the day after the night before. Tell me, is this the most relieved man in Malbo last night?
The night finalist tonight is...
Only two places left. Are we going to do this, lads? I mean, really?
It's Ireland!
Yes! At last! You devils are waiting! Wait, make us wait! Oh, that's fantastic! Oh, that's fantastic!
Good afternoon, Marty Whelan.
Oh, Katie, how you doing? You all right?
Tell the truth. Doubt was beginning to set in at that point, Marty, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, you see, as the fellow said, we've anxiously waited to get through for the last number of years and not been successful. Not the fault of the act, just people not voting for us. It's a disgrace. And as a result, we last night when it got to that stage, I suddenly went, hang on a second. Because we were very confident, and I have to say most confident this year, more confident than we have been. And we just suddenly felt, what's going on? Because there were votes and polls and all sorts of stuff. And you take a lot of this kind of things with a grain of salt. But I'm telling you now that over the weekend and up to yesterday, everyone was coming to us saying, you're definitely getting through, you're definitely getting through. So that was the fear factor last night.
Yeah, and even I was looking at the reaction in the press room last night and the reaction in the hall, in the event in the place there. It was really different to maybe the reaction we've been looking at over the last number of years, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Well, you see, when you don't get through, like on Saturday night, for example, we're in the Eurovision Song Contest. We're in the event now. We haven't been in it for 6 years. As a result of that, you're kind of going, well, who cares who wins, really? Because we're not in it. So it's a different night. Now we're in it, as the fellow said, you know, skin in the game, and now it's all flag waving, and everybody is now obviously going to have a different attitude, I think. So, yeah, so it's a very special night for us. And the Swedes have won it 7 times. We've won it 7 times. And Bambi's dad is Swedish. And Bambi's mum is Irish. So there's a whole thing going on.
I did think that was very useful to us that was pointed out at a very crucial time during the voting last night.
Did you feel it swung at for us, Katie?
I think we might have got a bit of a Swedish vote in there at the last minute.
We're very big with the Swedes. But see, the other thing to say to you is that, as well, there's so much negativity and horribleness going on in the world. Here we are in this Eurovision Song Contest bubble in Malmo, and it's, you know, this I hope will give the nation a bit of a lift on Saturday night and give us all an excuse to fly the flag and be happy for an evening and be a part of something.
We're definitely getting that from our listeners today, Marty. It's a great reaction. People are very, very positive about it. People are beginning to hope again, I think, after the years of drought, that maybe we might be back in the game.
That's right. We've struck water. I think you're right. And, of course, obviously, I'm only drinking water while I'm here.
There's a question I've been asked. Do you think Marty would have a little, not even a tiny tipple?
We'll have the Baileys. We'll have the Baileys now on Saturday. And the bottle's worth much less than €50, in case anybody's checking. But yeah, we'll have the Baileys. I have a tradition every year. Terry Wogan gave me Baileys. The first time I ever did the Eurovision, he gave me a glass of Baileys and welcomed me. And as a result, I have it every. I share it. With my colleague Jane and the rest of us on the night, and it's always great fun. And the reason for it is, as Terry Wogan rightly said, many of the people watching the Eurovision are the worst for drink, and why shouldn't the commentator have a little glass? And Baileys isn't too much of that. It's just enough to make you feel festive, I think. And I'm not doing an ad for them. There are other. Be so careful there, haven't you?
But you have an extra special reason. You have two extra special reasons actually to be having a tipple this year. It's your 25th anniversary.
Yes, it is.
Commentator. And huge news. You've recently become a grandfather.
I have. I know. When you look at me, you can't believe it. Nor indeed can I. It's fantastic. Lily Nora was born. She's 5. weeks old. And it's just fantastic. We are, it's first grandchild on either side of the family, so it's obviously a very big deal. And named after the two grannies of my daughter Jessica and her husband Connor. So yeah, we're high as kites. And I was informed last night that she slept through the entire event last night. So there's the excitement permeating through the wheel and through the belly.
There's her granddad's soothing tones, obviously, Marty. Your soothing tones.
Well, I don't know about that. But she, even Bambi couldn't wake her up, and that says something. So it is one of those moments where, yeah, it's amazing to be doing it for 25 years. I love it. I mean, I'm one of the people who, back in the day, because I'm much older than you, would have sat with my mum and dad, watched it with the RT guide and ticked off the various songs we'd like or whatever. So it's always been something I've enjoyed, you know, as a small boy and through my teens. And I never kind of lost interest in it. And then to suddenly find that it was in a position to be asked, thank God, to be the commentator was just wonderful. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
And the Johnny Logan turn as well. That was something last night,
for God's sake, wasn't he? Doesn't he look terrific?
Terrific.
122 he is now. And I was just... And he's a big birthday coming up, I think, in a week, if I'm not mistaken. And he looks phenomenal and sounded wonderful.
Well, we're hoping, Marty, we're hoping to talk to him later so we can ask him exactly when that birthday is and how he's doing
it. Next week. Yeah, he is. He looks fantastic. It's good. It's expensive cream from mainland Europe, I'd say.
Would you say?
But he's lovely. And you know what? When he... The whole reaction here to him was phenomenal. And he is without question, what they call royalty here, because he's done more for the Eurovision than so many. And to have three wins, good Lord, he's phenomenal.
Well, speaking of people who have done more for the Eurovision and who have won Eurovision, hello, Charlie. Hello, Paul Harrington.
Katie, how are you?
Hi, Katie. Greetings from the Drumshambo jury.
it's a great day, isn't it? Who will Charlie? You were back there. You were going back in the day, facing into the final of Eurovision. It must be an incredible buzz.
It is, but you know, when I look back on it now and compare it to Bambi Thug, the amount of work that went into Bambi Thug's production, her dance routine, the video, the whole business. It makes Paul Harrington and myself look like a right pair of chancers.
Well, most of the work went into my hair.
Exactly.
Listen, by the way, it's great to hear Marty with a pep in his step. The unflappable Marty was nearly panicking last night.
He reminded me of that South American commentator when some team got a goal. He goes, "Goal!"
Well, I think that is our Eurovision. They think it's all over. It is now moment. But yeah, it has changed so much. When you were basically, you sat there and sang.
Yeah, exactly right.
I wouldn't be able for those routines, but it's so spectacular now. I mean, I went over to Liverpool last year, and that's the first, I think, probably the first live show I was at in years, obviously since we did it in The Point. But it's the amount of work and the lighting and the staging, it is like it's a whole new level now. And although it's very long, it's a long old night, but the excitement just carries you through, and the energy, it's unbelievable. It looked fantastic. And as you said, Johnny as well, the Silver Fox. And just so as you know, he's sharing a birthday with me, and that's the 13th of May, just to tip you off ahead of time before you get him, so you can wish him a happy birthday.
The 13th of May. Okay, good to know. Mm-hmm. Good to know, Paul. And are you going to be sharing what birthday you will be celebrating?
Oh, yeah, I'll be 64, looking forward to it and enjoying it. And that's, you know, still at it, thank God. And you know, great encouragement looking at Johnny there last night, looking fantastic, sounding brilliant. I mean, Charlie, you probably remember he used to do Euphoria in that Eurovision show we did some years
back.
Right.
And
he used to do the dance version. And but if that was what a trick that was to do last night in Sweden. Brilliant.
It was a brilliant idea to give him that song, actually, because of the connection. Because he was, I only learned this, I know lots of things about the Eurovision now, but that he was the only solo singer to win for 36 years until that song, Euphoria and Lorraine.
Very interesting. Yeah,
We've worked with Johnny quite a lot now in the last number of years. And the great thing about Johnny is he's still hungry. He still, you know, aches for that moment on stage where he hits those high notes. Sometimes he even goes down on his knees to reach the notes. It's just, he's just full of soul, the man is, you know. So it's great to see him. And the great thing about Johnny, he's never off stage. I mean, he looks just as good walking around as he does up on the stage, you know. So he's a rocker. He's a rocker from the very bottom of his heart, you know.
And he's committed. You're right. He's 100% committed. He's there, which is great.
Go back to Bambi Thug then. I mean, you could not get, if you got two Eurovision entries, you couldn't get two further away from each other in style and temperament, shall we say, than Rock and Roll Kids and Bambi Thug last night. But phenomenal performance.
There is an excuse, though, for us. Paul wouldn't be able to play the piano with those Johnny...
Oh, have we lost Charlie's line? It's gone down. Paul...
Yeah, I know what he was going to say with those lovely nails. But it was very, very different. I mean, and you know what? I mean, thank God, you know, vive la différence. I mean, I was absolutely delighted, and I kind of had a good feeling about this. And even though last night to me it was like Ireland winning the Eurovision, to be honest. I kind of forgot that Bambi has to go again on Saturday. But I mean, it's so different, and it's spectacular. And I don't know if you, Katie, you might have seen the recent performance that they did on the Late Late, just at the piano. You know, where you could kind of, you got to see and hear the song in a very different light. And I remember thinking, oh God, I wonder, should they do it that way, you know? But I'm delighted they did it the way they did it, because it was absolutely spectacular, brilliantly executed as well, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Even in a night with, I mean, all those acts had big dance routines, big light shows. There was so much going on with so many of those acts. But even in that context, I think it really, really stood out, like it really knocked your socks off.
Absolutely. I mean, I think like we're like genuinely in with a great chance. I mean, you know, okay, we've had some, you know, duff entries over the years, but there's been quite a lot of good entries and efforts that just never made it through to the main final, which was one of the stumbling blocks, you know. So I think this has a great chance, and of course it's great excitement for me, because I'm going to be I have the privilege and honour of delivering the douze point on Saturday night.
Indeed, so Will, you're the Irish, you're the Dublin jury,
the spokesperson.
The spokesperson.
Yes.
Who will you be wearing, Paul?
Who was right? I'll be wearing myself. I'll be wearing velvet, that's for sure, because I'm very, very, very fond of a bit of velvet.
A wise choice, I think, given the occasion.
exactly. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward, and of course, naturally, I'll look at the whole contest, you know, with a different spirit as well, you know. So it's very exciting to be back in, and I hope to God Bambi Thug bring the whole thing home, because it's way beyond time that it was handed over to a new generation, let all us fellas just sit back and rest a bit.
Now, you don't mind me saying, Paul, there's people in the building I'm sitting in right now who are sweating at the prospect of how RT in its current circumstances might be mounting.
They may have to take it a loan from the credit union. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying there might be more than one credit union involved.
Exactly. Anyway.
Have you a joke built in? Have you the script ready for? Because I mean, it has become very important, those few seconds you get.
I've said to everyone along the way, I said, you know, what you know, is there anything I can do or say? And everyone's kind of, well, start it up to yourself, and they kind of shrug their shoulders. Nobody's encouraged me to do anything off script. There is a small bit of script, all right. It's very short. I hope I don't mess it up. A little bit of Irish too, but so who knows? You know, I might sing a bar. Who knows? You never know. I have a couple of days to figure that out. You know.
Okay, maybe. Yeah,
He was with me the other day, and he repeated that this is the vote of the Dublin jury about 500 times, and in several different accents. And several different scripts. This is the vote of the Dublin jury. This is the vote of the Dublin jury. And so I'm sick listening to it at this stage.
but the only thing is, at least I gave the 12 to a different country every time. I was fair.
Paul, we look forward to seeing you on Saturday night, and hopefully we'll all be in top form, because Bambi Thug will be up at the top of the leaderboard at that stage. Charlie, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. I must say, last night I had a first. I sang at a novena in Edenderry. And during the rosary, every time the end of a decade came, there was this woman beside me. She kept nudging me, "Don't forget to sing the Rock and Roll Kids. Don't forget to sing the Rock and Roll Kids." But
at the novena.
Yeah, the novena. Yeah. Okay. And we sang it at the novena.
Excellent. You know. Excellent. Charlie, good to talk to you. Paul, good to talk to you. Can I bring in Nick now? Nick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
You haven't made it over to Malmo this year, Nick?
Yeah, most of the pity. I didn't get over to Malmo this year. I was in Liverpool last year for the week and a half of festivities, and it was fabulous. But I was at home on my sofa watching last night's Eurovision semi-final, and there was some fabulous stuff in it, wasn't there?
The whole show was fabulous, actually. A really enjoyable show, but a fabulous result, obviously, for Ireland.
I can't tell you how thrilled I was. I jumped up and started screaming. I texted one of my friends immediately screaming. I was just so delighted. I tell you, it does help matters when the UK can vote in the semi-final. I remember last year when I was in the UK watching Eurovision and trying desperately to vote for Wild Youth, who did perform in Liverpool for Ireland. Sadly, I couldn't, because British voters could only vote in the second semi-final. But yeah, it means so much to the country. I know how many people and how we all love Eurovision here. It's just fabulous. And it was a risky choice, wasn't it, the song? But it did pay off, I think. And there is that market in Eurovision for hard rock acts. I mean, look at Lordi and look at Maneskin. They won for Italy a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you would think Lordi did come into your head when you saw it the very first time.
That was it, yes.
And you're English, but you're based here now. Where will you be divided loyalties on Saturday night?
Normally, Ireland never get into the final, so they certainly haven't the last few years, so there's never been any problem in previous years. But, it's a very hard one. I will be in the UK, actually. I'm actually going over something else. So I'll give Ireland a couple of votes when I'm over in the UK, but I think my heart has to be with our boy, with Ali Alexander for the UK. I was a little bit worried last night he performed. His voice didn't seem quite there, so hopefully he's got a bit of time to put that right between now and Saturday.
Yeah, is he one of the favourites as well this year?
Ali, no, he would be one of the favourites. He would be sort of... he's actually, funnily enough, I've been seeing press releases coming in which are telling me that he's more of a favourite to finish bottom with nil points rather than trouble in the top, which is quite dispiriting, but there you go.
Would you think Bambi Thug has a real chance this time?
Yeah, I think so. I think the big thing, though, is where we're going to be placed, where Bambi Thug will be placed in Saturday night's final. We won't know that until after the second semi-final on Thursday night. Now, if we're in second or 26th place, weep, because I don't think any country's ever actually won from those slots.
So what are we hoping for, just so we know what we're crossing our fingers for? Where is the best slot to get?
The best slot would be 15th, 16th, close enough to the end, but not completely at the end. Also, interestingly, I don't know if listeners know this, but I know loyal Eurovision listeners will know this, but now the voting is split in half. First of all, you have the jury votes, and then later on, to add to the tension, you have the audience votes. So the picture can change very quickly based on what the audience like, rather than what the jury's like. Now, I was chatting with a good friend of mine last night, Bo. She's actually in the Netherlands. She's cheering on the Netherlands tomorrow night. She was saying, and we were both saying, that the Irish song, Bambi Thug, is likely to be more popular with the audience than the jury. So if Ireland isn't doing really that well after the first part of the voting...
Don't be disheartened.
Let's not be disheartened. Let's stay with it. Let's stay in the game, because, you know, there might be a massive vote from the audience across Europe. That's our hope anyway.
That is excellent advice. Good to know. Don't be disheartened if the juries don't favour us, because the people's voice will be heard from the second part.
The people's voice will be heard, indeed. Yes.
Nick, thank you for that. Can I bring in Deirdre now? Deirdre, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. It's lovely to speak to you again. I swear to God, I'm nearly sick. I didn't expect a call back. But
you have a great story about Johnny Logan and the year that Johnny won.
I do. Spit me, Johnny. Yeah. Yes, it's 1987, and myself and then husband were working in Baghdad in a hospital in, it was called Ibn Battar, I think, yeah. And the West were great friends with Saddam at the time, so our, Aer Lingus were given the job of building this hospital, and it was staffed with Irish nurses and doctors,
indeed, yeah.
And that's going back a few years. Anyway, we were working there, and 1985, there were no mobile phones, there was nothing. And we had taken a holiday to Istanbul. And I will never forget, I was sitting in one of those Turkish baths, and the only thing we could get on the television in Turkish was the Eurovision. Now, like we, anyway, so to make a long story short, didn't Johnny win with, it was the second time, 1987, and we flew back to Baghdad the following day to tell everyone in Ibn al-Battar that Johnny had won for a second time. And the celebrations in Baghdad was off the scale. So it was only when you spoke about King Johnny and His Majesty. Well, I can tell you, he made a group of people so happy. I think we must have celebrated for a week.
Do you know, I think people now find it hard to remember or realise, if you weren't around for it, what a huge deal it was for Ireland to win the Eurovision back in those days.
It was, and at the time in Ireland, like, we were going through an awful recession, and me as a nurse could not get a job in Ireland. It was just impossible. And to be married as well, like, oh my God, it was just impossible. So that was one of the reasons why we went. We could get rid of some of the debt my husband had accrued as a student, and that's why we were there. But I will never forget, I could have flown the plane back to Baghdad that day.
I was so delighted and excited.
And there's an addendum to that. I moved back from the UK this time, 2013. And Johnny Logan had disappeared for a long time from the Irish scene. And he came back. There was music on the prom, and he was the mainliner. And I will never forget that Sunday afternoon down the pier in Dunleary with Johnny singing. And he was actually in the flesh. And that's a whole, what, how many years, 25 years later. He still has it, you know, Katie, he still has it.
Oh, he absolutely still has it, for sure. And he proved that last night in spades. Deirdre, thank you so much for that. I need to take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And can I bring in Liam Giddes now? Liam, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Now, we are over our first heat, Liam, but you are still on tenderhooks.
I am.
Yeah, so just in case people haven't recognised the name, you are the writer, songwriter of the Latvian entry this year.
Yes, yeah, I co-wrote and produced the Latvian entry, which I imagine probably sounds quite random why an Irishman is writing the Latvian entry, but that is the case anyway, so we're just here in the bubble waiting to rehearse, actually.
You're actually in the auditorium right now, are you?
Yeah, we're just in kind of next to the arena, the kind of delegation area, so we're waiting for our time slot.
And what place do you, are you in the running order tomorrow night?
So we are ninth, actually, so yeah, we're kind of in a nice enough little spot, so we're taking our little victories where we can.
So this is great. So we have somebody to shout for now tomorrow night as well. Supernova.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they're kind of similar to us, Latvia, aren't they? They're really loved Eurovision, but they haven't had great luck in the last number of years.
Yeah, it's been quite tough for them in the last number of years. I've been obviously kind of here for the last week and a bit, with the delegation, so I can see how much it means to them. And it really is like such an event back home. Like everyone's kind of waiting and watching. Don's is one of their kind of most popular artists in Latvia, so they're really putting a lot of hope into them. So yeah, hopefully we can make it work.
Well, you can, you know, hopefully we'll get a few Irish votes for you now on the night, because we can, of course. Oh, we won't be able to vote in the.
I know.
Unless you get into the final. Yes, we have to get you through tomorrow night so that we can vote for you.
Yeah, we're doing our best campaigning, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
How did you actually end up writing the song for the Latvian entry?
So I am a full-time writer and producer, so I would travel around to kind of these different writing camps. So I can be with various people, artists from, you know, all over the world, depending on what the publisher, who the publisher kind of sets you up with. And that particular day, last November, I was put in with Don's. And we wrote this song, and then Eurovision really wasn't part of the conversation until after it was written. You know, the artist and his team just felt like it was really the right place for the song. So they made the choice then to put it forward for Eurovision, and they have Supernova, which is similar to our Euro song, but there's 15 entrants with two heats, so it got chosen out of those.
And tell me, is it like, having seen the staging last night, like obviously huge amount of work gone in to staging this by the various acts last night, and by not least Bambi Thug. Would you have that kind of a staging? What? How much work have you gone into the?
Yeah, so quite a lot. I mean, I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's certainly we're hoping it'll be what we're calling a breath of fresh air with a lot of craziness. We've kind of gone with a more minimalistic, restrained staging, but it's definitely so much work has gone into it with a really large team, really just figuring out what was best for the song and what would really translate to people at home watching the semi-final as a TV show. You know, what's going to translate the best, and I think we've done that. So we'll see now.
And last night, were you there last night in the auditorium for them?
I was in the comfort of the hotel lobby with everyone else. We wanted to save our energy. So yeah, it was wonderful. It was really, really strong.
Really strong, wasn't it? And what's it like out there this week? Is it like all Eurovision everywhere you turn, or would you know what's going on?
Yeah, Malmo has done an amazing job getting it kind of Eurovision ready. There's, you know, stuff everywhere pointing to Eurovision. You definitely wouldn't be here and not realise what's going on. So yeah, they've done a fantastic job, and there's such a buzz here, and especially now with us just a day away from our semi-final, we're in the bubble here, and there's just such a buzz. Everyone is just kind of in the zone.
And a huge amount of international media there. They did I saw some videos from inside the press room there last night. The amount of interest in this, you really have to kind of remind yourself that it is a massive event.
Yeah, it's the scale of everything is just so, like, mind-boggling. You know, I've worked in music for the last 15 years, and, you know, when I walked up to the stage, it was just like nothing really I'd experienced before. It's kind of, for someone who wouldn't be, you know, I am a Eurovision fan, but I know there are, you know, hardcore Eurovision fans. I wasn't really familiar with, you know, just watching through the TV, it does not do it justice. Like, it's just phenomenal, the scale of everything. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had a few of them here ourselves, but I think things have kind of got up to the ante a little bit in the period since we were winning and hosting it here. Liam, the very, very best of luck tomorrow night, and hopefully for the final as well. And we will, you know, you will have a lot of people here rooting for you, even if we can't vote for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Liam. Can I bring in Denise now? Denise, good afternoon.
Hello, Katie. Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, we were talking about what, you know, a phenomenal show and the, you know, how the whole of Malbo is caught up in this. But you were caught up in it when we had it here in 94.
That's right, yes. I was an importer into the market in the city of fresh flowers and plants, and I was dealing with RTE, and they asked me to supply them with plants that they wanted to decorate the upstairs of the point. It was a very open, vast area that needed decoration, and the easiest way to do that is to put in like palm trees.
So, was this where the axe would relax and you'd come back after?
Yes, the green area, if you want.
Yeah, the green room where the camera would kind of pan around and everybody would be sitting with their groups and waving the flags and all of that.
Well, it was part of that was up there, and then also where they had guests, you know, or royalty or whoever was attending beforehand, where they were entertaining, and they needed these palm trees to go around. So they wanted about 60 or 70, I think, of them, and they had to be at least, say, 10, 12 feet tall because it's a very high ceiling. So I organized a container from Holland to come in with the plants, and we landed the truck down into the car park of the point. And then we had to then, as they say, handball each tree out and bring them in. And, of course, there's escalators there in the point. Well, they were then. And so we put the trees on each step of the escalators, and somebody was at the top. And so up the trees went up the stairs like that. It was quite a sight to see them going up.
Quite the logistical nightmare, really, to get.
Yeah. It was great, though. The atmosphere was amazing, and like there was just great camaraderie around the place, and people were willing to help.
I actually remember I was actually in the point for that Eurovision, and it was just a fantastic. Yeah, that there was a whole sort of a family atmosphere around it. Everyone wanting it to come off well, and
it was
a really fantastic night. Of course, that was the year of Riverdance, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, and you could hear things going on in the background, but nobody let you in to have a look. We were trying to get in to see, but no access was allowed, so we just had to go with it. But it was certainly a great memory to have of all that went on, because afterwards, when it was over, RTE wanted to get rid of the plants. They had to take them out of there. So I said I would take them back and sell them for them. So it was like a double whammy.
So is there people all over Dublin now or all over the country with palm trees that actually graced?
Yes, that were at the Eurovision back in the day. Yes, there is.
A good story to point to, the tree out in the front garden and say, you know where I got that from?
Well, no, these were indoor plants now. These were all indoor. You wouldn't have planted them in the garden.
So people have 8 foot tall indoor plants.
Yes, yeah. Well, a lot of restaurants maybe took
of course,
them, and
yeah.
You know, and offices and things. It was amazing where they ended up, and like some of the people didn't believe me they'd been at the Eurovision, you know.
Denise, thanks for that, and well done for populating the Point Depot with palm trees for our 94 Eurovision. Dennis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. Good to speak to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dennis. And Dennis, we were talking about this in the office today. The whole Crown the Witch, the whole theme of Bambi Thug's performance and act, which was really dramatic and really grabbed people, and in the way it was staged last night. Usually, she's kind of bringing us back to our roots.
Well, yeah. I mean, first to say, Bambi, they were absolutely fantastic last night. I mean, I think, you know, fair play to Michael Keating and RTE. They upped their game. It's absolutely superb. The act is a reflection of Irish culture. I mean, Bambi themselves have said they identify as being a witch and with, you know, a pagan identity. And we have to remember, a lot of pagan predates Christianity in Ireland by roughly, I think it's about 1,000 years roughly. Also in that, I mean, a lot of the commentary on social media has been in relation to, has labelled it as satanic, which is quite humorous because it reminds me then of the 80s when you remember the satanic panic, you know, if you play certain rock records backwards, it would induce you to want to involve themselves in satanic rituals and things like that. But I think it's contemporary music. I mean, the performance, and certainly the juries will be looking at that on Saturday night when they're judging it under performance and composition.
Is it because it's quite provocative, you know, the way in which she staged it, and that dance that she does with the kind
just
of
just the intro, she's day, I suppose.
The well, they, I have, sli- I have, I, I've done the first slip up in the pronouns. Yes, very provocative the way they staged it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's all part of the stage show. I mean, if we look at past stage shows, I mean, you remember Chanel from Spain back in 2022. If you look at Ollie Alexander this year, it's as much, I think, about the show as it is about the song. I mean, this is very much reflective of modern culture. I wouldn't describe it as being necessarily provocative, but I think it's very engaging. And certainly, it has piqued the curiosity of a lot of members of the public. I mean, if you what's worse than being spoken about, as Oscar Wilde said, not being spoken about.
But I think it's the contrast between the satanic sort of themes and the darkness, and then those balletic, that beautiful balletic moves that she moved into it as well. I mean, it really was an extraordinary performance.
They moved on stage absolutely wonderfully. I mean, you have to remember, I suppose, art is about challenging established ideas. It's about making you think. And that kind of, I suppose, juxtaposition of the dark, as people label it, very satanic, or those kind of dark imagery, in contrast with the ballet and the light. I mean, it certainly is eye-catching. That, I think certainly that's what made us stand out from the crowd last night, Katie. That's why Ireland was very engaging.
Yeah, and I suppose people were talking about comparisons with Lordi and some of those other Scandinavian acts going back over the years. But it doesn't feel like a throwback, actually, does it? It feels like something very new.
Well, I wouldn't even say something new. I would say it's an evolution. I mean, what you're doing is you're building on those great wins of the past and bringing them forward. Eurovision is constantly undergoing changes and you know, musical styles and performance and things like that. I mean, certainly the Rock and Roll Kids at the time, 30 years ago, was of its time. Nowadays, Bambi, Ollie Alexander, they are of their time now.
That's where it's at. Thanks for that, Dennis. I want to bring in Owen. Owen, good afternoon.
Hiya, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Owen, pure theatre it was last night.
It was pure and unadulterated theatre. And the thing about Bambi, I remember when Faye was interviewed before Eurosong, Faye mentioned that Faye would bring, just said, give me that stage. Give me that stage. I know what to do. Faye says that Faye is a theatre kid. And yeah, that really shows that it came across. Like every single shot that we saw was micromanaged. Like every single shot had a purpose, had a place in that performance. It was so well planned out. You could see the passion and energy that went into it. And they're a very small crew, the people putting it together. So, you know, fair play to them.
Yeah, Bambi Thug made that point actually afterwards, just how small the team is and how proud they were about what they achieved given the size of the team, because we know that huge amounts of work goes into a lot of those, and much bigger teams involved in other acts, but that they were able to achieve that with that team last night.
And I think something that's been overlooked a little bit is the song itself. I would think that song is a wonderful composition. Like it's really, really good. When it came into Eurosong and there were two quite loud numbers, there was the one by Ailsa and the one by Bambi Thug, I was like, when I heard the Bambi Thug one, I was like, this one is genius. This has to go. And for me, personally, Ireland this year is my favourite song in the Eurovision. And like, I'm an avid follower of the Eurovision. I would like, Eurovision season for me starts in December. And I would follow all the national finals across Europe online and watch those. Like, we'd have several Super Saturdays where we watch the finals of different countries. But yeah, Ireland for me this year is my favourite song in it. And for me, it's the first time that Ireland has been my favourite since 1988.
So do you think...
So I am absolutely over the moon that we qualified. And not only that, we're fifth favourite to win. And as regards to performances last night on YouTube, on the official YouTube channel, we're second after Croatia in popularity.
Are we on YouTube? That's in terms of...
Yeah. And then this is the... What they do is they immediately upload the live performances onto the official Eurovision channel. And then you can see from the view counts what's been proven popular. And Ireland is right up there. Now, whether that's the actual spectacle that it was, I'm not sure how much that's going to translate into votes, but I really hope it does, because we deserve it. We deserve it. This is a great song, and the whole package and the energy that's gone into it, you know, the effort that's gone into it is amazing. I'm so glad to see it.
Hear, hear, Owen. That's great. And we'll all be watching, of course, on Saturday night. We'll take another break there.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we're having a Eurovision party here today. And what would a Eurovision party be without a touch of this? And I am delighted to say, good afternoon to the King of Eurovision, Johnny Logan.
I said, you can call me Your Majesty. Thank you. That was a very nice introduction I got last night, I must say, in Sweden. I didn't know whether to be modest or just say, well, finally, okay.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. Just everything about the song, the performance.
They'd asked me in November. It was really hard. I'm not very good at keeping my mouth shut about certain things, but they had approached me in November, December of last year, and asked me to be involved with it. And I'd agreed, and we had decided on what I would do. And then when I heard the arrangement, the orchestral arrangement of Sweden, because you see, Sweden had won it 7 times, and we had won it 7 times, and I thought it was a really, really, really nice, and I was very honoured that Sweden had asked me to do the guest spot in the first semi-final, and to sing one of the most famous Swedish winners, and I thought that was just such an honour, and to be able to, and also the opportunity to represent my country again, you know, like one more time.
Oh, it was just so special to see you there, and the big introduction you got when you came on stage, and the reaction in the auditorium to you was just...
It was unreal.
Wasn't it?
It was unreal, and it's so weird because when we were rehearsing, because it's a symphonic arrangement, and there's no drums or anything like this, you know, being played to give you time. So normally when I'm singing, I only use one of the in-ears in my right ear, and I have what they call little speakers in front of me called wedges, mm-hmm. and I can hear, you know, that way I can hear the audience and I can hear what's going on. But because of the fact that there was no rhythm, there was no shaker or click track, and I had to hear the piano and the arrangement, they asked me would I put two in-ears in, and I'd never sung with two in before. And it was the weirdest thing. It was almost claustrophobic, you know, but I couldn't hear the audience. In the same way that, you could on TV, you know, or the people in the arena could hear. But even at that, when I finished, I could hear what went up, and I turned to Carl Johan, the piano player, who had done the arrangement, and I just saw the grin on his face, and I knew that, that it must be something else. You know?
It was something else. Can we just hear how you were introduced? If anyone didn't hear it last night going out. Because it was brilliant.
Before the Queen, there was a king. An Irishman, yes. Who won the Eurovision, yes. As a singer in both 1980 and 87, and as a composer in 1992. And I can't put into words how much he meant to me as a young girl watching the Eurovision at home. His Royal Highness, Johnny Logan.
There you are. And online, the reaction was brilliant as well. Let me read you a couple of tweets, because there are a couple of posts on X. Greg Murphy said, in a shock twist, Johnny Logan has been crowned Eurovision winner. In a statement, all Eurovision 2024 contestants said, that's fair. Hard to argue with that.
That's my son sent me that. I thought that's brilliant. I mean, I'm always enjoying watching other people being written about, so the least I can do is take it on the chin where it's meant. But I got the people from the TV show this morning. I left at about 7 o'clock Malmo this morning, back from Copenhagen, mm-hmm. and the people at the show though were already reading me the things that were up the on Instagram and the social media. Reaction to the performance, and it's wonderful. I mean, I was quite emotional, because a lot of it, was so wonderful, you know, so positive, and it was, I suppose to go back to the Eurovision stage in 2024 44 years after winning the first one, and to be in that situation where you walk out in the middle, and in the middle of an orchestra, you know, kind of that was enough to take my breath away. And then, but to see the reaction people had to my performance and to the song itself, and I think it was just wonderful.
It's still happening, Johnny. We just got a text in. Can you tell Johnny that all of us here in a local bookshop in Sligo love his humility and lack of vanity? That's from Janet and staff. And another one that I saw last night, which I have to repeat, is I keep rewatching Johnny Logan's exquisite performance, and I can't help but notice his slight resemblance to Patrick Swayze.
You could dig Patrick up now, and he'd still look better than me. And I'd say, Patrick, that used to happen to me back in '87. I actually, in Covent Garden, I had a girl chasing after me, and she actually wanted to know, could she kiss me because I looked like Patrick Swayze? And it's, you know, of course you can, but so this is, you know, like sort of, I think during that period, that was his Roadhouse and the Ghost period and this sort of thing, and I think. You know, every guy would have been happy to look like Patrick Swayze back in those days. But the reality of it is that sort of it's, you know, like people have been throughout my life have always been really, really kind to me and really, you know, like I think because I think I'd like to think I'm quite approachable and I'm, you know, I like people. And I think we said it last night when we finished the performance, we went into a room like you're being led up because there's so much happening there. And all of the string players, they're all young kids and stuff like this, well, in their 20s. And they were all sort of, they wanted to get a group photograph. And Carl Johan, the guy who did the arrangement, was kind of like, was so nice. He just said, like, you know, like, this, of all of the people, he'd worked with some of the biggest artists in Sweden and this, and he said, not all of them are as nice as Johnny Logan. Mm-hmm. And you kind of make it feel like sort of that's, it's, you know, I whatever has happened to me throughout my life, I've always tried to treat people with respect and with dignity and this sort of thing. And it's returning to me in so many ways. And it does really, you know, like sort of it really makes it really is something very special for me, even to hear that thing from Sligo. And thank you guys down there so much for saying it.
Everyone, of course, remarking about how astonishingly fabulous you look. And we had Paul Harrington on earlier. He was reminding us you share a birthday. He's
yeah,
a little bit younger than
yeah,
he's a little bit younger
it's
than you.
Next week. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a big birthday coming up, a roundy birthday, as they say.
Yeah, we always wish each other happy birthday on that day. Paul and myself. That's one thing. That's another thing we share apart from winning the Eurovision. But you know, and if Paul's listening, you know, happy birthday. I'm heading off like sort of for a few days away. But like sort of, I was going to say I'll be thinking about you, Paul. No, I won't. I'll send you a text and wish you a happy birthday. But I hope your day will be as good as mine, or mine will be as good as yours, Paul.
How do you do it? Is what everyone wants to know, Johnny. How do you keep? You look
just,
so well.
No,
you
just,
sound so well. Your voice is incredible. Still.
It's not well. You know, like sort of. To be honest, this year I lost my brother, my older brother Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In November last year, and that I found that when I stopped wearing it at Christmas, I found it very hard. In January, February, and it's been a battle to get back there. But I mean, I don't drink, I don't smoke. Now I've had to give up sweets because I got very close to being diabetic. I did 26 concerts in Belgium in the summer in Bruges, and the fans kept bringing me boxes of chocolates, and I kept eating them. So my sugar levels went way up. So I said, I was told stop it. And when I did that, I lost. Came down about two or three sizes in shirt, and I'm just, you know, I've all my life I've worked out. I've always been in and out of gyms, and it's just because I think, you know, I'm 69 years old, 70 on the 13th of May, and I think it's really, really important to be as fit as you possibly can. I think I saw a great picture of Mick Jagger and what was Mitch McConnell, the House Speaker. Republican House Speaker,
and they're the same
who's
age.
Just retired, a picture, and they're both the same age. And who said that somebody had written underneath it, who says rock and roll isn't good for you, you know?
Tell me out there, the atmosphere that was there, I know you're home now, but the atmosphere out there, and what are people saying about Bambi Thug?
You know, I went to see Bambi as soon as I went in there, because Michael Keeley, who's in charge of the delegation over there, I know Michael from a couple of the Eurovisions now, or the National Song Contest. But I went to see Bambi because I had done an interview with Eddie Rowley, where I said that I expect her to get through the into the final, and that I think she had a good, as good, you know, like she has a real chance of winning. And I went to just give her a hug, and she gave me a hug back, and then we did some photographs together. And it's the first time I can actually say in years that when she finished, and you know, they announced that she was in the final, I was in the green room, and not the green room, in the delegation room, and I let out a shout. Like, the Irish would have been proud of me, you know. I think I frightened about four or five delegations around me with how loud I was. But it's, you know, the thing is, even Rylan, who's there for England, he came up to me and says, I think that could be top five. I think she's confident.
And I should say...
she's not there.
Johnny, we'll get texts in to say it's a they.
Yeah, no, it's not disrespectful, but I did explain I'm 69 years old.
Of course.
This is, you know, to me, I went to see Bambi and like sort of a... And I'm trying to be as respectful as I can be, because I know that Bambi is non-binary or mm-hmm. like, and it's they, them. But I'm too old, and too tired at the moment. But I did go to give Bambi a hug and to just say sort of how proud I was of her, and that everybody back home would be. And I went to see her just before she went on. I went to see Bambi just before Bambi went on, and said another hug. And I said, look, when it's over, I won't be around, because then this is going to be about you, and I don't want to be. In your light, and I think that you go on and be the best that you can be, and I'm sure it's going to be more than enough. I think Bambi is a very, very talented, very, and much more together than I ever was.
Very well said, Johnny. Johnny, thank you so much, and we really appreciate you taking the call, because I know you're very, very tired.
I'm exhausted, to be honest. I'm sitting in my music room, looking at my feet, like sort of silhouetted against the window.
I know you are very good. We really do appreciate you.
One last thing I should say. I remember years ago coming back from, it wasn't from a Eurovision, it was from some big thing that I did in Europe. And I was sitting in my boxer shorts in the lounge watching TV, and my youngest son, Adam, turned to my wife, Ailish, and said, and this is the man we saw on television in the suit last week. Nobody would believe it if they could see him here in the house. You know?
Before you go, I have Martina who wants to say something to you just before we let you go. Martina, what do you want to say to Johnny?
Hi Johnny,
Martina.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank
finally,
you. How are you?
I'm great. Congratulations on last night.
Thank you very much, Martina.
You're absolutely blinder.
Thank you.
I met you back in 96 at the Special Olympics. I think it was in Dublin.
Yeah.
And I came over to you and I got a photograph with you, I think. I remembered well. And I said, oh my God, there's Johnny Logan, I said to one of the girls. So I was so delighted to meet you back then.
Thank you. Well, I hope we'll get the chance to meet again.
Oh, Johnny, it'd make my day. It would really make my day. Like, you know, I always loved watching you on the Eurovision and when
Thank
I was
you.
Younger.
Thank
so,
you.
So, congratulations again, and thanks ever so much for letting me speak to you.
No, not at all. I look forward to another hug the next time we meet.
Oh, I can't wait. Whenever that will be, God knows.
Thank you, Martina. Johnny,
okay,
thank
bye,
you
Martina.
Again.
Lovely talking to you.
Take care.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Can I bring in John now? John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Great, John. You are a long, long time Eurovision fan.
I have to say, probably about 50 plus years, nice. At least.
What is it about Eurovision, John?
I think it's one of those times that when the world comes together, Europe comes together for a song contest. And it's a prime-time television show where the very best in Europe comes and sings a song. And that's the part I love. I'm not particularly orchestrated or anything like that about... I have my own particular viewpoint on what a good song is. Other people might disagree with me, but I think this year, of all years, we're in with a really good chance of bringing home the trophy. I really do think so.
And like, what, going back over the years, what would have been your, you know, top favourites of the winners?
Well, my favourite song of all time, Irish song, would have to be the Rock and Roll Kids, Charlie and Paul, because that brings back really fond memories of 1994 for me.
I was going to say that then, when you say you really think we're in with a good shot, because obviously, as we were saying earlier, you couldn't get a song further away from Rock and Roll Kids than Bambi.
Yeah, Tug. I just think Bambi Tug has an edge to direct that is cross European. Everybody said the same a few years ago about Lordi. Oh, who are these guys coming along? They don't stand a chance. And in the end, they ended up romping home. You know, and so you get acts like that that come along every so often, and they just poke you in the right place. And Bambi Tug is doing that this year. I think their act is stunning. I thought the staging of their act last night was really, really good, because it's not just about the song anymore in the Eurovision Song Contest. It's about performance, it's about staging, it's the whole package. And I really think Bambi Tug has it all. I know they're from Cork and the Rebel County, and there's a little bit of rebellion in them. And I think that's just what Europe needs. I really do think that they're going to do really well this year for us. And to bring home the trophy would be brilliant, but to finish in the top five would be outstanding, as far as I'm concerned. You know?
Oh, yeah, just to get a run at it, to be back in those heady days where we're watching, you know, are we going to get the douze pois or the dix pois, or, you know, that we could at least have the thrill of all of that, would be great to be back there again, wouldn't it?
It would be, because when everybody tunes in, the way it used to be done a number of years ago, you used to get, and the 1 point and the 2 point. And now we're down to the last 3 points, the 10, 11 and 12. So the international juries and the televoting has come in. I'm not a huge big fan of televoting, because I think there's an awful lot of cross-border, friends across the ocean kind of thing that's going on there. But that's part and parcel of Europe now. And I think the exciting part of that is when all of those points are awarded, and then the juries give their 10 points to, and the 11 points to, and the 12 points. That is exciting. And if Ireland gets a couple of 12s, I think we will be in the reckoning right at the end. I really do think Bambi has the act that gets across Europe. And
I hope we're not jinxing ourselves here, John. Take me back.
I hope not, but the bookies have our line fifth with a 6% chance of winning. And the act ahead of her is Croatia, a 36% chance of winning. So, look, people have won this competition that have come from the backfield. And, you know, the favourite runs along the defence line and keeps his line. And somebody like Bambi Tug comes from the outside at a gallop and takes it by a nose. Maybe I'm wishful thinking, but I think they have what it takes to be the act to do it this time.
Tell me, you have, and I think we've left Johnny Logan go off to get 40 winks there, but you have a Johnny Logan story of your own.
I do. We lived in Sandymount when I was younger, and we lived on the Strand Road, and right, our next door neighbour for a while was Shay Healy. And for a couple of months, all we heard coming out of Shay Healy's was his piano playing and, what's another year? And my dad, he used to say, coming in, oh, not again, not another year. Yeah. And literally coming in from college one day, Johnny Logan, and I think it was Louis Walsh was with him, walked into Shay's house and we heard them singing it for the first time. And we thought, okay, that's great. But then a few weeks later, we seen Noel Keelahan with the orchestra behind it. And all of a sudden, the hairs on my neck stood up, because it was so different, so unique. The orchestration behind it, the whole thing. And then it really meant something. And I just thought, well, okay, I might have been listening to this song being played for the last couple of months by Shay Healy in his front room on a piano. And now I'm hearing it, the real thing. And when we won it, I was really delighted. I remember my dad going in a couple of weeks later with a box of chocolates or something like that for Shay, and handed them in to him, and he was as cool, as calm as ever, as any other neighbour would be. Oh, thanks very much, and just walked away. But it was such a, that was just a memory from,
so you know,
44 years ago.
You heard that song, which would become one of the most famous songs of the Eurovision, before anybody else, basically. Literally before everybody. Only Shay heard it first.
Well, I would like to think I heard it before everybody else, because we used to hear it in the evening time or whenever Shay was at home, he'd be tinkling away and you'd hear the tune coming out. So, but we, as I said, it was Shay putting the words to it. And then we heard Johnny one day in the house
and
singing
then you heard
it.
And then you heard it the way and it then, was heard yeah. all over Europe, and what a song it was.
Yeah.
John, thanks a mil for that. We have to take our last break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We don't have an awful lot of time left, but because I want to get to a few more super fans now. Paul McKeown, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
And you are a super fan. you're officially a super fan because you were one of the super fans that were asked to whittle down the long list for this year's Irish entry.
I was delighted and honoured to be part of the jury this year to choose actually the six songs that went to Your Song 2024, and Bambi being one of them.
And did you, when you heard Bambi the first time?
I heard it, yes, I heard one of 170 plus songs. And I remember hearing Bambi's song. Initially, I just went straight away, even though gothic pop or whatever Bambi would call it wouldn't be my necessarily genre. I when I heard it straight away, I went, that's different. And that's what we need in Eurovision anyway, given our results over the last few years.
And would you have just heard the audio? You didn't, it wasn't, because obviously the staging of it is so much of a part of it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Just the audio, KG.
But even the audio, you said, okay, that's something we need to put in.
Well, absolutely. Straight away, the song hits you. Don't Say Blue is one of the best, I would say, Eurovision songs in, you know, history going down, whether it wins or not. It's going to be iconic. And a lot of Eurovision songs who don't win are still iconic songs. And the minute I hear Don't Say Blue, the madness first of all got me, but then the chorus as it goes into it. And then when I hear the lyrics and the meaning of it, it is a really powerful song.
It's a powerful song, no doubt about it. Paul, thank you for that. Let me bring in Robert. Robert, good afternoon.
Yes, hi, how are you, Kelly? Oh, God, I tell you, I'm glad you could bring on earlier on. You had Johnny on, and nobody can follow the king himself, you know.
He's the king. He is the king.
Yeah.
We had Eurovision royalty. What do you think? How do you think we're going to do?
I think, because I know you're rapidly running out of time. I think for years we've been playing the wrong game, and we have at long last started playing the right game. I said to somebody earlier on, we've been bringing a badminton racket to play a football match for the last couple of years, and you're not going to win the game doing that, you know. And now we've got it right. I think I'd be proud for anybody who is a Eurovision fan this year. From the first time I heard the song in January, Bambi on stage, they perform it because they love what they're doing. They love performing it. You can tell there's passion there. There's an honesty on stage. And then to get the production right, which is what has happened, I'm not sure if it's RTE or who's involved in the actual production, but to get the production right in conjunction with the person performing, loving what they're doing and doing it for the right reasons and entertaining people for 3 minutes. That's what the Eurovision Song Contest is about. Entertaining people for 3 minutes and doing that and doing it right is the reason we're in the final. And we've just been doing it wrong for years, and now we're doing it right. We did attempt to do it right a couple of years ago, but then we went back. We've just been playing the wrong game. We're now playing the right game. I don't think we'll win. I predict probably about seventh, is what I would say, in the end.
But
we're doing it right
now. That would be a massive improvement on where we've been for the last...
Yeah, no, we've already won, as far as I'm concerned. doing what we've done, we've already won. And I'm delighted. And I can't wait for what's going to happen on Saturday and what's going to happen next year and the future years.
I think we're all looking forward to Saturday now. Robert, thanks a mil for that. Very little time left, but I want to get into you. Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. Helen Jordan here. How are you doing?
Helen, you had, was it two Eurovisions that you sang backing singer on?
Well, I sang backing vocals with Johnny Logan in 1978 in Paris, and we came fifth. So everyone's talking about fifth. And by the way, Israel won that year. But anyway, I was asked to go the following year then with Cathal Dunne, but I was doing a big Christmas extravaganza for RTE. I was recording that with Tony Hatch and Jackie Trent, and I couldn't turn that down. So I didn't go with Cathal to Eurovision, but I sang at the National Song Contest twice as well. So it's a great feeling. It's a great experience. And Paris was amazing with Colin Wilkinson.
Colin Wilkinson, it was in Paris. Yeah, of course, that was A Man Was Born to Sing. Isn't that the...
That's the one, yeah.
All of
and
these
he
songs.
Was.
It's incredible. They're all stuck in our brains. They're kind of childhood memories for a whole generation growing up.
Indeed.
And Helen, you were right there in the middle of it. Thank you so much. Enjoy Saturday night. We'll all be watching. On sound today, we had was Dave Gibson. Our broadcast coordinator was Shane Galvin. Our programme was produced by Sian O'Gorman. And let's have just a little of Doomsday Blue to play us out.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.